The scripture reading today is found in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name is Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
They say that in the Old Testament there's over 300 foretellings or prophecies of the birth child, including the prophecy that the child would be born into a virgin. And this morning's passage deals with the Virgin Mary and hearing the news from the angel of this special blessing that was to be placed in her life. I like to think then for Mary this was a holy interruption. If you remember, I shared last Sunday about holy interruptions. It's a time when God interrupts our lives. He puts something unexpected or unplanned in our lives, and maybe even something that is unwanted. But he is injecting this special thing into our lives for a reason. To remind us of his great power, to remind us of his love for us, to remind us of his presence in our lives. Holy interruptions are something that cause us to stop what we are doing, to shift our focus from things like bills or home care or raising our children or having to get to work or being the best parent, but shifts our focus instead on God to remind us of what is important. And when Jesus was born on that cold and dark night, we know that Jesus was a holy interruption to the world as well. The world continued to be a busy world, a world of Jesus' time that many people were focused on the wrong things. They were focusing on the living, they were focusing on pleasing different gods, they were focusing on their own personal selves. But Jesus came in the world as a light into the world to remind them to refocus, to focus instead on God's love and God's promise for them. For Jesus brought the promise of eternal salvation and life, and as a baby child born in a manger, he started that promise that night. Now, if you think about Christmas Day, I challenge anyone to look through the Bible, and do we see anywhere in the scriptures, even Old Testament prophecies or New Testament gospels about the birth of Jesus, anywhere in the scriptures where it says December 25th, Christmas Day? We don't have that in the Bible, but our world instead, our early Christian fathers made December 25th a special day to celebrate Christmas. December 25th starts the day of the winter solstice. And the winter solstice, a unique thing about this, and this might be for people who like geology and science, but the winter solstice is the shortest day of the whole year. It has the shortest amount of daylight, and darkness starts soon. But the wonderful thing that the early Christian fathers said about this day and choosing December 25th as a day to celebrate Jesus' birth, that yes, it was the shortest day, short amount of sunlight and daylight, and then the evening came soon. But the thing about the winter solstice is each day after the winter solstice, more and more light comes. So each day, the first day of winter solstice might be just 10 hours of sunlight. But the next day would be 10 hours and 10 minutes, and the day after that would be 10 hours and 20 minutes, and so on and so on and so on. And that is what Jesus is. He was born in darkness but brought light into the world. So each day after his birth, more and more light came into his world, into the world. And that is how our lives are as well. When I encourage you and talk about having Jesus Christ in your heart, think about that as light being brought into your world. You lived in a dark world, a world where you might have been lost, a world where you might have been confused, and a world where you might have been wondering what your purpose was. But when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, light is brought into your world, and day by day, more light shines into your world. So then, when the Virgin Mary was sitting one day in the passage from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38, she was told by the angel Gabriel, who visited her, of her birth that was to come, that she was to have a wonderful son, and more light was to be brought into her life. But it was definitely a holy interruption in her life. We know that Mary was engaged to the man, they say, was named Joseph, in the house of David. And it is so important to know that Joseph came from the house of David, a lineage, in a way, of the great rulers of the past. And next Sunday, I will talk about Joseph and the holy interruption that happened in his life. And we know that this woman, the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And he says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary was perplexed and wondering at his words. She was thinking, "Me? I'm just a simple person living in this town of Nazareth, a young woman to be engaged to a man. But here is the angel Gabriel appearing before me, interrupting my life in a way, but a messenger from God bringing her a great message." The angel brings the message, greetings, and telling her she's a favored one and the Lord is with her. And she is perplexed, and the angel sees that she is perplexed and says to her, "But do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Man of Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of the ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom of there will be no end." Now imagine Mary just being a simple woman engaged and looking forward to her new life as a wife-to-be, but hearing the news that not only will she be a new wife, but she will have a son, even before conceiving with Joseph. What amazing and distracting news, a holy interruption this might be. I think about all the mothers in our congregation, and it's wonderful to share the news of Susan and Sean and their expecting of their third child. But can you imagine, you mothers and fathers, if an angel came to you and said, "You will have a son, he will be Most High, and you will name him Jesus." Now, Susan and Sean have named their first two children Jojo and Jaren, and I don't know if they're going to name their third child Jesus to continue that J trend. But to be told by an angel something so specific, what must be going through Mary's mind? First, being afraid because an angel has appeared, but then probably being joyful because hearing that she is favored in the Lord's eye. But then receiving this news, this amazing, miraculous news that she would have a virgin birth. And the Son would be the Most High, the Savior, and be named Jesus. We know this must have been crazy news for Mary, a holy interruption in her life that she had planned out. But that is what God does. He interrupts our lives and brings Jesus into our lives to shift our focus to him. Mary does ask the angel in this morning's passage, "How can this be? I am a virgin." But the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy and will be called Son of God." And he goes on to tell about her relative Elizabeth, who also in her old age will conceive a child. Because the angel says that nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that a wonderful and comforting message that even in Mary's life, when she has this holy interruption of what is to come, she knows that all these things are made possible because of God. And that is a reminder for us as well. Yes, we can prepare for Christmas, and I love how Karen asked the children about all the things of Christmas, about the Christmas tree and the lights and the gifts and the holly that we have in our homes and all the decorations and planning you do to be with family on Christmas Day. But we also must remember the focus of God, to know that nothing is impossible with him, but to know it's not our will, but God's will. And God's will was to put Jesus Christ there on earth, born in a manger in a lowly form to a family that wasn't well known. We all know we have this sort of automatic social conditioning where if someone great and powerful and present comes into our lives, we sometimes act differently. For example, recently I moved in May. I went from Hacienda to now moving to Monterey Park. And since moving to Monterey Park, every time I encounter a church member, I've run into Terry at Target and Andy Louie recently at Costco and Chris Lamb at Ralph's supermarket at 10 o'clock at night. Random sightings. But I used to be able to go out and go shopping in Hacienda Heights and not worry about what I was wearing or what was in my shopping cart. And then I run into a church member now and I said, oh no, do I have tons of junk food in my cart, right? When I run into Chris Lamb, or what kind of magazines do I have in my cart when I ran into Terry at Target, or, you know, just things I worry about. And then I wonder what they think about running into their minister, right, in a store. And what if the president walked into the church? Would we act differently? Would we wonder, oh, is our church decorated enough? Are we dressed well enough for the president in our midst? We change the way we act when persons of hired status or persons of a different, you know, power, we change who we are. It's something we just automatically do. And you might say, no, I don't. But I assure you, if you're a college student and you run into a professor, would you act differently? Or if you are a worker and you run into your boss in a different setting, would you try to act differently or speak better? We just automatically do that. So I love that Jesus was born to a simple family of Mary from Nazareth, whose lineage, yes, her husband was Joseph of David, but not everyone knew that. It was thousands of years removed, but born in a simple place. That Mary was the mother, probably uneducated, not a career woman as we have career women today, but just a simple woman ready to be a mother for the Son of Man and the Son of God. But it's wonderful to see that Jesus was then born in this simple setting and not from a powerful, well-educated family or not from a royal family that might have been expected from the prophets, but a simple and humble beginning, a holy interruption in Mary's life that then became this wonderful nativity Christmas story that we have today. So we see that Mary's response when the angel says that nothing is impossible, she says, "Here I am, Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She saw this holy interruption happening in her life, and she responded in the way that God wants us to respond today when God interrupts our lives and reminds us to focus on Him. To be able to answer as Mary did and say, "Here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Let your will be according to your word." Let's all say that together. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Oh, we need to mean it. It's Advent season. Let's say it again. Here I am, Lord. Let me be your servant. Let me be your servant. And your will according to your word. Your will according to your word. So we must remember to act as Mary did when God interrupts in our lives and calls us to do amazing things. And I truly believe God calls each and every one of you to do an amazing thing, to be faithful, to receive eternal life, and to have Christ in your heart, and to answer as Mary did, "Here I am, Lord." Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we answer your call for us joyfully with, "Here I am, Lord." To know as Mary did, to show her faith, even when the impossible was being done. We know, Lord, that you work through our lives in ways that are sometimes hidden, but yet ways that are so wonderful and miraculous. We ask, Lord, that you continue to guide us that we may serve you faithfully, to remember the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, born on that winter night, and the light that came into the world and continued to grow into the world. We ask, Lord, that we continue to carry that light into the world, as you have called us to do, to spread the good news and to share the love and the hope and joy. In your Son's name, amen.